Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and we have a special show for you today. State Representative from South Dakota, Julie Ock, is going to be talking to us about something that is incredibly important to us. That's if you value home ownership and being financially stable. And these people who are running this administration, they don't run out of ways to try to steal what's rightfully yours, whether it's unrealized income they want to go after now, whatever it is, they're trying to deprive you of home ownership and your nest egg. So we're going to get into all that right here. But before we do, we got to let you know the banks are in trouble. 63 are on the federal watch list for failure, but they won't tell you which ones. Like, you don't have the right to take your money out of the bank. And the Dodd-Frank law 2010 says they can keep your money. So here comes Noble Gold. And Noble Gold says, if your retirement's in there, we're really good at taking it out, backing it with gold, which is a lot better than the failing dollar, and you'll be in control and they can't touch it. You go, that sounds pretty good. Does it work? Yeah. I've been a customer for 7 years. They can also help you protect your bank account. And again, I've been a customer for 7 years. And when I close a deal, and I just did last week, the first thing I did is I took 90% of that money and I went and bought silver coins. They're the best organization to work with. And I have to give this warning courtesy of the FTC. There's no guarantees, and past performance can't be a predictor of future expectations. I'll say this. I've been a customer for 7 years. So what are you going to do? By the way, they should give this warning. The banks can steal their money if they get in trouble. Dodd-Frank 2010. But we don't hear that warning, just from me. Okay, here's what you do. Go to your phone after this interview and call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. By the way, all the wealthy, they're ditching cash and they're buying gold, silver, and Bitcoin. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Julie, welcome to the show. We've talked a lot off air, but this is your first appearance on our show. We're so glad to have you. And we want to be pleasant in the beginning because this talk is going to be somewhat dire. It's going to be very threatening to most people that hear this. So let me just kind of turn it over to you. I asked a few people randomly, do you know what UCC is? And they thought it was a college football team. So tell us what UCC is.
Well, it's Uniform Commercial Code. And it is what states have to have in order to operate their business over state lines. It is what allows commerce to happen throughout the United States. And it's been around a long time. And for the most part, it is very good. It's very good. It's something that's necessary. It is how, all of our money moves from product to through the banks. It is what truly allows commerce to happen. So it is extremely important, and it is controlled by your legislators. It's controlled by your state government.
Okay. Well, if it's, give me an example. How good is it? Let's start with a positive and work our way down.
Okay.
What does UCC do that people say, I like that?
Well, I mean, you're not talking to an expert on UCC. You're talking to a second year legislator who didn't even know what UCC stood for until 2023. But how is it good? It is good in the fact that, once again, it mirrors our codes with use of credit cards, use of checking accounts, use of allows us to trade and trade banknotes, dollar bills, for products and services in our own state and across state lines. So it allows us to sell or buy product across the state line. So and that's exactly what UCC is. It also is, it controls and regulates to a point, some segments of our banking industry and anything to do with money, anything to do with what we consider money.
Okay, so that's probably where the problem starts, because
the
root of all evil is the love of money. So,
well, I mean, it's love of money, but I think that, in the Bible, it states that very clear. The root of all evil is the love of money, but it's I think we're called to not have more than one God. And so, money is, it's necessary. We have to have money. It's our lifeblood. Without the use or some way of bartering, however you want to name it, you have to be able to purchase items from others in order to survive in this modern economy. What UCC does is allows us to do that and across state lines.
Okay. And so I can spend my declining dollar in Arizona the same as I can spend it in Colorado. So
Correct.
I understand that. And that's a really good thing. But whenever in this day and age, when you have control of money and you have government, right now, I'll tell you, my red alert signs go up because I'm wondering what are they doing to benefit themselves or their benefactors? And how is it going to hurt myself or the public? So let's talk about what got you interested in UCC and go from there.
Well, I wouldn't say that I, it wasn't something that it was something that out of fear. Sitting my first year in legislation here in South Dakota, a bill was brought to the floor in reference to UCC. That's exactly the words that were used, UCC, and just a simple cleanup bill. And inside that simple cleanup bill, if you it was 124 pages, of course, and once you got to page 20, it started talking about electronic money. And electronic money is the definition of central bank digital currency.
That's right, yeah,
And
exactly.
knowing full well that that was the definition, I said this is not just a simple cleanup bill, and alerted. Of course, we read the bills before they go to the floor. I had discovered this. 2 weeks into my first term as a legislator in South Dakota, not knowing even the process, but alerted some legislators that I trust, and they totally agreed with me. And me being a strong Christian, in my definition, I said, this looks like the mark of the beast to me. I'm not interested in this. I'm not voting for it. And so then I spent the rest of our session, which, is anywhere between 45, 42 days. Basically talking to as many legislators as I possibly could. And we were able to successfully get that vote that was passed in the House and the Senate, overturned and vetoed by the governor. So then the folks that helped me do that, accomplish that, were very, very interested in our plight. And before I knew it, Florida had outlawed central bank digital currency. Several other states outlawed central bank digital currency in 2023. And so very relieved by that. But knowing that bill, knowing what was in that bill and studying what was in that bill, I basically asked the Freedom Caucus and mostly the Wall Builders, which is a David Barton organization, and he put together a team for me that has been excellent and helping me read the UCC and find out what is in it. And then, of course, David Webb came out with a book or a documentary on YouTube called The Great Taking. And he understands how they are able to, or how they were able to, pass legislation in all 50 states in beginning in 1994. And in South Dakota, the legislation was passed in 1998.
Wow.
We put our fingers on that in 2020, in December of 2023, 10 days before the 2024 session, and were able to create a bill, and that bill became House Bill 1199 in the state of South Dakota. We presented that to legislation, and right away, you can about imagine, for those of you who are aware of how this works, the bank lobbyists came out of the woodwork. Not only the bank lobbyists, but Chamber of Commerce and the South Dakota retailers and all anybody that they could get in their camp to basically tell the legislators that were serving on the committee that needed to go in front of that this is a horrible bill, conspiracy theory, we can't change this, this will stop commerce in South Dakota, all malarkey, all malarkey. So The unfortunate thing is, in the state of South Dakota, the Uniform Commercial Code has kind of been one of those things that nobody reads. No one, not even the attorneys that serve for the governor in the governor's administration, understand the Uniform Commercial Code. But I can guarantee you the attorneys that wrote it understand it. And so whenever I testify against the Uniform Commercial Code, they have an attorney zoomed in from Chicago or who knows where they're from, but they're Uniform Commercial Code lawyers. And we caught them lying repeatedly in testimony. Now, since no one else understands it, of course, the legislators that have been, basically taught by the lobbyists to not listen, they voted against it, and actually did ultimately kill the bill. It didn't take them long, and we knew they would, but we got them on record. I do have a small group of legislators in South Dakota that do understand what I'm trying to get across, but I really want to get into what is in Article 8 of the Uniform Commercial Code, and if every state in the union would literally erase a couple of lines in that code, the savings, the amount of what you would be giving back to your citizens is invaluable. And so what ultimately happened in 1994 in the Uniform Commercial Code, and what they did is they changed the definition of shareholder, broker, and shares, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, ETFs, and basically that all drives into derivatives, which all feeds into our mortgages. I mean, our mortgages are basically handled by banks, and then those banks trade them on the Board of Trade. I mean,
Right.
the things have gotten so complicated since 1998, and in the 1990s when we went from paper stocks to digital. And that's when this all happened. And so now the term shareholder is entitlement holder. A share, a stock, a bond, an ETF is an entitlement. And a brokerage or a broker is an intermediary. So when you start looking for, and what the team did with the wall builders, and now they're, and fantastic people, attorneys, extremely intelligent. And what David Webb was able to help guide us into were where it is specifically in the code. And in South Dakota, it's an Article 8. Well, it's an Article 8 in all states, but where what section it is, it could be different. Our section is in Section 57. A8110. And these are the areas where we need to have it amended. And we literally need to remove the definition of entitlement holder and take out where the and jurisdiction. And now I want to get into why. So when they changed the definition of those three areas, they basically took away your private property. They now you do not own your bond. You do not own your share. You do not own your mutual fund.
Let me clear this up real quick, because I think we're talking about multiple locations for wealth. You're one talking about home mortgage, correct? That's been traded.
Correct.
Okay. And number two, you're now talking about the stock market too.
Well, the bill that I refer to is in reference to shareholder mutual funds
Why ask that? Yeah.
and bonds. And when you ultimately go follow the money, you follow those areas, those are all being held by banks. So when your shares, your, you know, and we've pretty much paid attention to where our banking situation is, because when you look at commerce, when you look at the flow of money, it flows in and out of whether it's going to the New York Stock Exchange or not, brokerages, brokerage houses, trust companies, you know, they all are centrally located into several banks. And why does this all matter? Well, when we have a large bank, kind of like you had talked before, Dodd-Frank situation, when we have a large bank that's been declared too big to fail, throughout Article 8, when you have a bank that's too big to fail and they go back to collect on their debt, if your shares, your mutual funds, your ETFs are held in that bank, I mean, ultimately, that's where, money flows in, flows out, and that bank goes broke, your claim on that 401k pension account, whatever it is, you have been deemed a non-credit. You're not a creditor. You are your credit, your ability to make a claim is after the bank. They're first. They're the first mortgage signer. You're second. You're no longer first. So in my opinion, you've lost your ownership.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's no question you have. In fact,
Absolutely.
you
And
know.
that is clearly stated in Article 8. Now, not clearly. I take that back. They kind of hide it. And how they hide it is they give you ownership and then they take it away. And they do it basically with the word except. And except as otherwise provided in a new section of code. And our code is 57A-8-511. And in 57A-511, it clearly states a claim of a creditor of a securities intermediary, which is a brokerage, who has security interest in a financial asset held by a securities intermediary, has priority over claims of the securities intermediary. So basically, one security intermediary who has priority over another securities intermediary, they have first claim. Then entitlement holders who have security entitlements, shares, with respect to that financial asset, if the creditor has control over the financial asset, the creditor is the security intermediary, not you, not the entitlement holder.
Where do you
So
fit in? Where does the person fit in this?
you're second.
Okay.
And then,
Go ahead.
go ahead. So,
I
and then
just.
if you want to lay claim to your money, you have to travel to the bank's jurisdiction. That's clearly stated also. And that's stated in section one, insurer's jurisdiction. So you have to go to the securities intermediary's jurisdiction to lay claim to your money. So let's just say you have $1 million in your 401k and it's being held by, Fidelity, JP Morgan Chase, Vanguard, whoever it is. You have to go to Delaware, wherever, Switzerland, and get your claim. You have to lay claim, but you're second mortgage holder, second creditor. How are you ever going to collect? So this is where folks need to be aware what this means. And it is literally in one line, except otherwise provided in 57A-8-511. And then it is one paragraph describing who has priority. And it's not the person, it's not the citizen, it's the bank.
Let me say this because this will really help my audience understand this because they've heard me talk about Noble Gold and Dodd-Frank forever and a day. Dodd-Frank came in 2010, and
Yes.
what they did is they declared the account holder to be an unsecured creditor. And so they shifted the ownership of the money. And this is exactly the model they're using here. This is a little different. Like to go and claim your money, there's a pecking order. And this is one thing I've never told people. I don't think I've told people this. In Melbourne, Australia, in 2014, they set the order of FDIC recompensation for lost bank account money. And they insured the credit swap derivatives crowd first. You'll never see it if, unless you're in that group. They won't even get all the way through that group because the FDIC only has 0.8% of the money on hand they need to cover bank accounts. And so when we look at this is worse because a lot of these brokerage houses that could hold a note to your mortgage could be, like you said, in Switzerland. So
That's
now
right.
you've got to go to a tremendous expense to go lay claim, but you're laying claim knowing that you're always going to be in second place.
Right. That's
Wow.
right.
How many homeowners are affected by this? Is it anyone who has a mortgage to pay?
It all depends on who holds that mortgage. I mean, if the bank that is holding, I mean, if you take out a home loan and you take it out with your local bank, you and I both know within the first 6 months that mortgage is sold to somebody. So you have to kind of follow who's holding that mortgage. Ultimately, who is holding that mortgage? And if that bank just so happens to be in the share in the, held by JP Morgan Chase or by Lehman Brothers or by, you just don't know. And if those big banks were to fail, I mean, yes, when I was defending this bill and trying to bring it in front of the a legislature, of course, the argument was, well, Julie, I mean, Representative Auk, what are the chances of one of those banks going broke? I mean, really, just a horror. I mean, that's just not going to happen. Well, I mean, it happened to Lehman Brothers. So can it happen? Absolutely. And you don't have to, you do not have to completely understand the financial markets to understand we're headed to a road of no good. So if they can write this into the code, get it through the legislature, nobody understands it. Nobody. When I say nobody, I had to bring specialists in to explain it to the attorneys in the administration. And I'm not trying to down degrade them or by any means of any disrespect. This is difficult to understand, and they do it on purpose. When they literally give you ownership, I mean, may I read the paragraph prior? Because the paragraph prior basically says the entitlement holder has all ownership except, I mean, to the extent necessary for the securities intermediary to satisfy all security entitlements with respect to a partial financial asset, all interests in that financial asset held by the securities intermediary are held by the securities intermediary for the entitlement holders. Right there, it's saying, oh, we're doing everything good for the entitlement holders, which are the people that have the 401ks or the pensions, and they are not the property of the securities intermediary and are not subject to claims of creditors of the securities intermediary. So right there, they're saying, oh, you, honey, you have your 401k. It's yours. And then, comma, except as otherwise provided in sections 57A-8-5511, where it clearly states, except when the securities intermediary goes broke. Then get in the back of the line because they're first and you're second. So it's trickery, it's wordsmith. And that is what this code, UCC code, is full. It's full of wordsmith. And you have to follow it completely through all the way to the end of the sections because they put in excepts throughout the entire code.
Yeah, that word accept, I see that a lot for deception. I'll give you an example. I don't want to get into it too deeply, but the people of Lahaina had always fought off the developers like BlackRock managed banks and so forth. And they wanted them to sell out and they wouldn't do it for years. And so when these people got burned out, and I won't get into causation, but when they got burned out, they looked at a law and they said, you, the governor, told us that we would never be able to have our land rights violated. And he said, yeah, but there's that clause in there, except for a natural disaster. And so this is why now they've had to sell out for pennies on the dollar just to survive. And that word accept is always there. There's another element that's interesting to me. And this just occurred to me, Julie. I have never thought of this before in terms of what you're talking about generally. In Europe, you have free speech until they say it's not in the common good. So we call it communitarian law. Constitutional law in its ideal form means you have the right for freedom of speech regardless of what the government says. You can't threaten anybody, but you can certainly speak your mind and criticize the government. You can in foreign countries and like in the EU until they say it's not in the common good. That's what this is. This is communitarian law. It's taking away someone's right to property, Fifth Amendment, and it's giving away their property right to an independent person and then turning the account holder into an insurance agent and an insurance company to cover the debts of the person, the company in charge now. Did I sum that up correctly?
You did, but I mean, this is the problem is you and I both know what shape the FDIC is in and the SBIC is in. This, when I visited with a couple of financial attorneys in reference to this, they said, well, the consumer would have the SBIC. Well, we all know how solid are they? I mean, how long are individuals going to have to wait to collect all their retirement dollars?
The money will run out before compensation.
Oh, wait. And not only that, you have someone who has a 401k and they are invested in the stock market. The comment back to me was, well, you invest your money in the stock market, there is a chance you could lose it. So this is their answer. This is their answer. So we as consumers, we as South Dakotans, number one, you try and blow the horn or warn people about this, and then again, getting them to believe you, even with it in black and white in front of them. And I had to draw pictures and diagrams and say, they changed the definition of what this means, and it's clearly written in our law, in definitions, that they changed the word for shareholder to entitlement holder. They changed the word of shares to entitlements. They changed the names of the broker and brokerage to securities intermediaries. And even stating all of that, they still didn't understand what I was talking about. And so the biggest challenge is to get people to understand exactly what's happening. And what my fear is, and it probably is, completely legitimate, is that everything's going to be gone. And then it's going to be, well, what happened? And I'm going to say, they did it legally. They did it completely under the laws of, and they would never be able to get this through federally. So they knew we're doing this to our own people in our states. We're doing it via our legislation, via the people closest to the people. I mean, you send your senators and your congressmen off to Washington, but this is happening in your state. It's happening in your Capitol buildings, in your states, under the nose of the governor and your legislators. And that's what I, that's to me, that is just wrong. It is just wrong.
This isn't the only area where homes are in jeopardy. This
Right.
is a general plan. This is something I did not tell you in our other discussions. I just found this out yesterday. There's something that's called FTIP, and it's federal floodplain insurance.
Yes.
And what they have done, and the Army Corps of Engineers and the federal government's allowed this to happen, they've expanded the floodplain. In other words, you didn't used to be in a floodplain, now you are.
And they
And
can
then
charge you a big price for insurance.
there you
Yes.
go. On September 30th, these rates go sky high for everybody, including people that have never paid them. And a lot of people are just scraping to get by and they're
Correct.
going to lose their homes. I read an analysis of this yesterday. 4.7 million homes are at risk now of default. And there's 33 days left for this to come into play. And so what I'm saying to you is you're talking about one way your home can be stolen from you. I'm
Right.
giving you another example where 5 million homes basically can be taken as well. This is a general trend to eliminate personal property in its holistic sense. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And what's bad is if you do not carry that flood insurance, you won't be able to have a mortgage. The bank will not be able to get, now, if your home or your business is paid for and you're not under the guise of that bank or the banking system, then they can't really hurt you. But what we've done over the years by stretching our mortgages to 30 years is people just really never get out of debt. They really never ever get their mortgage paid. We really, what we're doing, and back, 30 years ago, you would have a relationship with your community bank. You would have a relationship with your banker. They were a business partner. And this is something that I'm trying to educate even our bankers here in South Dakota, because truly the banks, but they've gotten tied into this Bank of International Settlement and the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve has become more of a big brother than anything else. And they are telling the banks how to do business. When you are, and kind of like the farmers, now we're telling, the farmers have gotten used to being told how to, where to, regulated or told how to plant their crops based upon the payment that they're going to get from their crop, federal crop insurance. They've done the same thing with the banking industry.
Wow.
This is how, am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And
They
when you
are
talk about the farm,
literally
I know
taking.
you're a cattle rancher, so you know this better than I do.
Yes.
But I have a lot of friends that are farmers and ranchers, particularly
Yes.
in Colorado where I'm from. And I mean, I've had 40-year friendships, and they're saying exactly what you're saying. I want to tell
Yes.
the audience, this isn't Julie's opinion. This is what's already happened to the farmers and ranchers.
This is happening, and it's happening. It's been happening, and they and I, and just like, and it's, they do it slowly, bit by bit by bit. They take a little bit more every single year, every six, it's just it. And we want comfort, we want convenience, we want what's easy. Hey, it's free money. It's free. It's free. It's free. We don't have to do, all we have to do is pay our crop insurance premiums and plant corn this year, plant soybeans the next year. Oh, you've got too high of a corn base. Your corn base is here. Your soybean base, your crop base is here. You need, and now when, because I served on the Farm Credit Farm FSA board here in Yankton County for 11 years, and then I ran for office, so they kicked me off, which is fine. But when I was serving, I noticed, I'm like, okay, when did we start paying money for livestock? When did we start giving a payment for alfalfa? If you haven't been paying attention, which I didn't, I mean, I have my job, my husband has his job, we have a farm, he takes care of the farm, farm payments, yada, yada, yada. We're tied into the government FSA office. All this is good. I thought it was great. I mean, I'm thinking, hey, these payments are coming. It's fair. We can't really regulate our price. It's regulated by the government. We're kind of caught in this system. And then you start tying it to what you know biblically, and you're like, okay, they're trying to control our food supply.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why the
So,
Chinese and Bill Gates are doing what they're doing along with this. You're exactly right.
18 years ago, you start really watching the trends of what they're doing, not even tying it into the banking industry until I got in, till 2 years ago, and start digging. You're like, holy moly, they're doing this everywhere. They're after everything. They want everything. Well, you will own nothing and be happy. So I don't know about being happy. I'm not happy about any of it, but it is being done right under the noses of very, very smart people. And that's what's a little alarming, is that they have been able to completely keep us content in our lives and busy, that we haven't been paying attention. And now that we start blowing the horn, sounding the alarm, you're nothing more than a conspiracy theorist wearing a tinfoil hat. And that's exactly what, and I've been around a little while. I really don't care what anybody says about me. I've been very blessed in my life, and right now I'm sounding the alarm, and the consequences may be with as they may, but I'm not going to be the one that sat on my hands and didn't say anything and didn't do anything. We have got to inform the public of what's happening, and it's happening fast,
It
very
is.
fast.
It is. I'm just amazed at a first term legislator would come up with this. And I'm not degrading first term legislators, but it's a language you got to learn. There are processes you have to learn. You have to foster relationships. And I've known a lot of people in politics. Most of them are pretty good people, some, but anyway, I've learned about the process. And I just am stunned that you were able to come across this. What alerted you to the problem? I mean, what was my aha moment? This is a problem, and I got to educate my fellow legislators.
Right here, I'll read it to you. Opened it up and I brought the bill. I mean, this was the very first bill, and page 45, electronic money means money in electronic form. That on page 45, that one line,
Okay.
31A, is what scared the crap out of me. And I'll tell you what else, controllable account. And this was the bill that was introduced in South Dakota legislation in 2023. And here I've got it. I put it in a binder. Here's the binder. The binder I carried around with me and sat in front of legislator after legislator after legislator and said, I don't want you to think I'm totally crazy, but please, can you look at this language? Tell me what this means. Tell me what you think this means. And over and thank God, literally, so many of them said, Julie, I don't think you're wrong. I think this is leading up to a central bank digital currency, which anyone who knows their Bible knows that's the mark of the beast. And so I just kept saying electronic means relating to technology having electrical, digital, magnetic, wireless, optical, electromagnetic, or similar capabilities. Well, that's a credit card, Julie. Of course it is. But when you say electronic money means money in any form, electronic, that means they're going to remove our dollars, our paper dollars, and our coins, and they're going to make us use digital currency. Then
There's a key phrase, though. I'm so go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
You get into pages. I mean, I had this bill because I'm not a lawyer, and I had to have the Black Law Dictionary. It took me hours, and I mean, I had 10 piles, sections, this word means this, and throughout this bill, and this is the bill we were able to get vetoed. But when you start reading about electronic controllable ledgers, to me, that meant tokenization of all of our assets.
I agree.
And I said, there is tokenization. They are trying to tokenize, and knowing my research and knowing what I know about how they are planning an ESG score and basically making sure that you can't buy or sell without a mark or some kind of a digital currency, and then requiring an ESG score and controllable electronic ledgers, controllable, the word
Keyword.
control.
Keyword controllable. Here's why. Here's what I've learned about what they're going to do with CBDC. You're going to be given the credits and they expire at the end of the month. That's part of the controllable. In other words, you can't accumulate wealth, so you'll never be a threat to them financially or with power. So that's the first thing. The second thing, the controllable, is the social credit. And you mentioned ESG. That's the first cousin of what I just mentioned here. So if
Correct.
you do something they don't like, they control your assets. And this
Right.
is what UCC is. You're in second place. First place controls you. And eventually, if you do something that the powers that be don't like, they'll start fining you or taking your money or just turning you out.
Correct. Correct.
And it's in process now. How many states have adopted this? Have you looked into this, how far it's spread?
When we, because South Dakota is one of the first legislatives, it is the first legislative session in the US. So when we were able to get it vetoed, the day before, well, Governor DeSantis of Florida, that helped. He came on live. We had our Freedom Caucus in South Dakota alerted the Freedom Caucus in Florida. Well, kind of alerted the Freedom Caucus network, and they were able to dig into this. And they decided they went live on Fox News or somewhere that Kristi Noem, our governor, Governor Kristi Noem, saw it, and she started to pay attention to the 1,600 emails and phone calls she was getting a week saying this has got to be stopped because it passed the House and the Senate overwhelming. So she was getting, I mean, we went to work. It was a concerted effort here in South Dakota. And so she started paying attention. And finally, 10 days before the end of session, basically said, I am considering vetoing it. And we were able to then, 4 days before the end of session, she said, if you can get me 44 signatures, I will, or 40 signatures, I will veto it. And I got her 44. Anyhow, because of all of that, I do believe we were able to get 23 other states to basically throw it out, not even allow it on the floor. But third, and then I'm not, I mean, I'm not sure on the numbers only because I want to make, I don't want to say something that's not correct, but I do believe over half of the states in the United States did not pass this code, but half of them did. So there are states right now carrying this legislation.
Yeah. Here we are in Arizona, where 70% of our population is conservative, but we're run by tyrants that are really far to the left, and they got this in. I've got to go back and see how far it goes, but UCC is in Arizona. I looked it up yesterday.
Oh, UCC's in every state. This bill was one that was that had hit the ground running in 2023. So what it is called, here, I will tell you exactly the title of it. And it is, well, we it was called House Bill, but it is a bill that changes the definition of money. And it basically changes the definition of money to electronic.
Okay.
So that's
And
what you want to look for in your legislation.
you want to hear a real conspiracy theory?
Sure.
I'm
Why
not
not?
I just
I my tinfoil hat is
it's
very securely attached.
right in the line of what you're saying. I've read that they want to tokenize the water on your property,
Yes.
rivers, trees,
Yes. It's called
mineral
natural asset cap companies. Yes.
exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
So here's my tinfoil hat question. How long until they tokenize us?
You know, boy, well, I mean, don't think for 1 minute I have not thought about them using our social security number and putting us in classes and selling us on the board of trade. Don't think I haven't thought of that, because I have. So, do
Yeah.
I think they're doing it? I don't know. I don't have any proof.
Yeah.
But
Make a
the
note.
natural, I will tell you, Harriet Hageman, I believe from Wyoming,
Yes.
helped the American Stewards for Liberty defeat a another piece of legislation that the New York Stock Exchange was so arrogantly thinking they were going to be able to sneak it through with the Federal Commission. So we just, the FCC, we cannot allow something called natural asset companies. We were able to get it killed and stopped in February of 2024, just this past year. But we know very well they're going to bring it back and try and
Yes.
sell photosynthesis, sell the air we breathe, sell the wind that you is produced, sell these leases that are being sold to landowner, well, basically not sold, being signed by landowners for wind towers, solar farms. The CO2 pipeline,
Carbon capture, you mean?
carbon captures,
Mm-hmm.
correct. So carbon capture pipelines that are being basically pushed, especially here in South Dakota. We're in a huge battle over private property rights here in South Dakota. So those kinds of things are being, they cluster them together because I've read these leases, I've read these easements, and right in them is language that allows that grantee, that grantor, the corporation to use your easement or to use your lease as a lien, a mortgage. They can mortgage it. They can basically put it up in their portfolio. And so that means they can sell it. They can sell that lease to whomever they want to. So they're going to cluster those and they're going to try and create these new asset classes on the board of trade. And your air, your photosynthesis, the water on your property that you believed is a piece of nature that it's to be enjoyed by everyone. They are going to sell it. They're going to try and market it and sell it. What the responsibility of the states needs to be is to basically say, we, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to be carrying a piece of legislation in South Dakota that is going to prohibit any type of natural asset company in the state of South Dakota. Those items are free, God made, not to be bought or sold in any form by anyone, any corporation at any time. You cannot sell or buy droplets of water. Photosynthesis. Are we that desperate that to create shares and to create derivatives on the board of trade to have people invest in that we are actually selling and buying those forms of things that were created for everyone to enjoy free? I mean, where does freedom start and slavery begin? Stop. Where does freedom stop and slavery begin?
I
I mean,
told
that's
you
all.
yesterday,
It's yes.
Executive Order 13603.
Yes. Oh, that was an eye-opener. Holy moly.
I got to ask you this question because if I don't, my baby boomer audience will be upset with me.
Okay.
Okay, so these people have paid off their 30-year mortgage.
Yeah.
How are they affected by the UCC?
Well, they're affected by the UCC in their 401ks and their pensions.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
But their mortgage, I'm like I said, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a second year. I bet 1 year, 2 years down as a legislator. How it affects you, and as far as if you do not have any connection to a bank, other than using it to collect your paycheck, pay your bills, that kind of thing. I think there's going to be several layers to this. You're going to be able to have your home somewhat as yours, as long as you can afford the property tax.
Yeah, but not just that. There's sustainable developmental. See, I don't know if you know this. I should have talked to you about this before we came on, and I apologize. There is a at the UN. There's an event called Summit of the Future. It starts on September 22nd, and effectively, it's 190 countries that are going to adopt the SSGs, Sustainable Developmental Goals, SDGs. They're going to adopt these, and it's called the Summit of the Future. I've actually done a piece on it on Rumble, and it's on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com. And basically, we're going to be voting away our rights. Now, effectively, this becomes a treaty. It's illegal because it hasn't gone through the Senate with a two-thirds approval. But when has that ever stopped these people?
Correct.
We are signing on to becoming part of a world government. It doesn't say it that way, but it's a de facto world government. And one of the things that they're going to do is basically you have to make your home carbon friendly. And this is already starting in California. And if you can't pay the climate mitigation costs, and California estimates the law they're going to bring in, it'll cost the average homeowner $73,000, and that's not labor included. How many people have $73,000 to hang on to their home?
Exactly. Well, Dave, what we need to understand is if they're going to continue to use our laws, our government system to take away our rights, then we have to combat it with laws in place in our states that say, not here. What states have forgotten is they have sovereignty over the federal government.
That's true.
The states can write legislation. Here in South Dakota, we wrote legislation that says, oh, yeah, you're going to outlaw gas stoves or electric. I mean, hello, no, not in South Dakota. We're going to be able to buy gas stoves in South Dakota. You're going to try and outlaw a certain kind of a switch that isn't, that they're going to be able to track how much electric. No, we're not allowing that in South Dakota. You need legislators who are aware of what these federal mandates are going to be. Like in South Dakota in 2023, they tried to mandate electronic ID ear tags in our cattle, our livestock, all of our livestock across the state. We said, not here, not happening. So these federal mandates that what you have to remember about these federal so-called mandates is they are a wish in a hand. You have to basically say, not here. You have to have legislators who are strong enough and have enough gumption to say, not here. It's not happening. And if you don't have that, then the people need to rise up and say, either you do it, or we're going to make sure you're never elected again. So, I mean, how do we fix it in short order? I don't know. But all I can tell you is in South Dakota, we're going to do everything we possibly can to ward off these mandates that the federal government is trying to say that you have to do. Well, what people don't understand is that when you are a state, you have sovereignty. And the people of your state need to understand that you do have rights of that state. And in that, and that's what makes us, that's what they talk about, blue states, red states. You decide how you are going to run your state. We are this state, our state motto is under people, under God, the people rule. Under God, the people rule. So not under the United States government, under God. So we're going to try and uphold that here in South Dakota.
Okay, I was told by an economist too, just kind of a FYI. He said the CBDC, when it gets real, it'll have elements of gold in it. That's when
Oh.
they need some legitimacy of backing, he said. And I agree with him. After I looked at what he was saying, I said, I think this is.
Oh.
And so the warning sign for people to watch, they can do these things, CBDC, but it's still not in yet in its entirety. They're piecemealing it in step. I call it the baby steps of tyranny.
Right.
But when they bring the gold in, that means they're sealing the deal because they're going to legitimize what they're doing. By the way, none of the elite who are behind all this are staying in the system. They're all going gold, silver, crypto, all of them, all of them. Jamie Dimon once told his employees, he said, if you buy crypto, I'll fire you if I find out. Now, JP Morgan Bank is one of the biggest acquirers of crypto in the world. It's absolutely amazing. I wanted to ask you this before we close. You're taking on very powerful people and you're in an election run right now.
Yep.
What kind of retaliation have you faced from the banking interests that you've opposed?
Oh, they don't like me very much. In South Dakota, and I went through a general my first year, then I just had a primary. And the ironic thing about all of this is the legislator who carries all of this banking legislation and banking bills. God has such a sense of humor. He is in my district. So they give him lots of money. I'm up against a lot of money, a lot of play. They try and paint me, they gaslight me. But the wonderful thing is in my district so far, the people understand and they get behind me and they show
Okay.
up and vote for me.
And also, too,
So
you told me a little bit about your election. You have to just finish in second place to retain your seat. So
well, yes,
this guy
because we
can't
have two
defeat you by
positions in the House
himself.
of Representatives, right? We have two
Yeah.
positions, correct.
You'd have a lot tougher road if you're in Arizona where they have an exclusive primary where you have one winner.
Oh, yeah.
You would have a much tougher road to hoe. So the system there actually favors you. Boy, there's so much more I want to ask you, but we're just about out of time. How are your poll numbers looking? And I need a quick answer.
Well, we don't take polls in South Dakota.
Oh, then you're not lying to the public. Okay, that's good.
We don't have a poll. I don't know. I mean, how are things looking? I mean, it's if I'm I mean I'm here to serve at the whims of my Lord and Savior, and if he wants me in office, that's where I'm going. I'm going back
Okay.
to office.
I think that's a healthy attitude.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to you briefly, but I want to close on this note. I want to do a follow-up show with you. We have pretty good reports that your Secretary of State and Kristi Noem is not interfering in this. She has ordered the county clerk and recorders to destroy the voting image so no vote can be validated at the end of the day. Could you look into that and get back to us on that?
I could, well, what I could do, to be honest with you, is I could connect you to the people that would know. I mean, I do
Okay.
know. I do know. I would gladly connect you to the individuals who are on top of that. And we have a group of individuals here in South Dakota that are right on the heartbeat of what's happening in our elections. And I'm tackling private property rights, and that is a full-time job, and I also have a
Okay,
full-time
I hear you. I
job,
hear you.
but I will gladly connect you to the individuals who can tell you where we're at with that, get you the truth, and how they are handling it and what they're doing it. I do know that South Dakota citizens have gone to our Secretary of State, and as a matter of fact, it's almost disheartening to me, but I really did help her get elected. Not only did I, but a lot of us conservatives helped her get elected, and she has totally and completely turned on us.
Yeah, I
And
hear you. Well, you know what? It's like the
yeah.
Who song, you know? We won't get fooled again. And that
Yes.
happens. That she's one, probably a George Soros operative that's been trained to run as a Republican, but is a closet Democrat until she gets into power. That was an actual program that we uncovered about 7 years ago. We are flat out of time, but this has been tremendous. We're going to follow up with you, but I would encourage you to look into the voting aspect of this because this could possibly affect you.
It could. You're right. Thank
Okay.
you.
Julie, thank you so much for coming on. Always a pleasure. Julie Auk, ladies and gentlemen,
Absolutely.
South Dakota representative. Take care.
Take care.